Amanda is going to take us through our reading.
The reading today is from Luke 21, 1-4. It's on page 981. The Widow's Offering. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. I tell you the truth, he said. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Amanda. Let me pray for us, and we'll just have a. We're going to use this passage just to help us think through some of the stuff that Trevor's shared with us, and just to help us to think biblically through these sort of things. So let me pray. Lord, thank you that we know you, and that we only know you because you've revealed yourself to us, Lord, and that relationship is special. And Lord, we want to please you and serve you, and we pray that you would show us how to do that wisely and intentionally, Lord. Amen. So this is, I love this little passage. I don't know if you're all very familiar with it. There's so much that you could talk about in this, so much that could be drawn out and discussed. But also within that, there's a lot that could be misunderstood as well. It's easy to misread what Jesus is saying here. And because of that, what we're going to do is slightly unusual. We're going to work backwards through these four verses just to help us see how and why it is that we give. We want to look at how we give, the way we give, and why we give, why that's so important to be part of a church in that way. So let's start by looking at how we give. And this is what we want to clear up, any misunderstanding here. Just have a look at the last bit of verse 4 here. This is Jesus speaking. He says, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So let's clear up misunderstanding. What Jesus is not saying, the way to give is to give everything you have, to get rid of everything. That's not what he's saying. That's not how we give. Giving is something that we should want to do, but it should be sustainable. It must be sustainable and wise, something that it's thought through. And the Bible is quite clear on that. Throughout Proverbs, it talks about the fact that you don't want to be so falsely generous that you give everything away and then are then dependent on the needs of other people or on the resources of other people. Proverbs 21:5 says that the plans of the diligent bring plenty as surely as haste leads to poverty. So if we give hastily, we just give everything away, it doesn't actually help anything because then you're then dependent on what actually you've given away. So giving, how we give, should be sustainable and wise. Because it's about intentional giving. It's about thinking about long-term results. In many ways, some of the things that we do for Christ, we never see the results of. And a lot of that is for very good reasons, so that we don't take the credit or the glory for that. And the giving is much like that. We want to give little and often. So, for example, if Trevor had come up and said, we had a great month the other month, it was such a good month, we decided to give all that money away to charity or to some poor churches in New Zealand or something like that who are struggling. If we did that, then we wouldn't be able to hold church the next month, the following month, because we don't have enough money to pay to meet. And if we can't meet as a church, then we're not fulfilling our purpose of being a light to a community that doesn't know us. So we want to give little over long periods, which is much more effective than big one-off donations. And why is that? Why is that important? Because people aren't converted through donations, but through hearing the word of God and being convinced of those truths as seen in fellowship with believers. That's how people come to know God. And the church is needed to do that. That's why God's given us the church, for that purpose. So giving wants to be sustainable and wise. We won't be thinking about long-term effects. I keep saying the success of this church means that it's still here in 100 years' time. When we're all gone, if this church is still here in 100 years' time, that is success. So we're not going to see that, the fruits of that. What about the way we give then? I love this verse 3. The way we give. So Jesus says, "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others." This poor widow has put in more than all the others. Jesus opened our eyes to so many things. Jesus, when he was teaching the early believers, was giving a much deeper understanding on so many things. You know, for instance, when he was talking about that to kill someone, and that same anger that we have with someone is the same attitude in our heart. And Jesus also explained to his followers and disciples what it means to be born again. This was new understanding for people. But that's not what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is not changing the rules of mathematics or economics. He's not saying that this little widow's tiny 2 copper coins were actually mathematically or economically more than the others. He's not giving new understanding. He's not saying 2 all of a sudden is bigger than 4 or 2 is bigger than 10. What he's talking about is the attitude of the heart. The attitude of the heart of the lady. This is what giving is about. This is the way we give. The way we give is from the heart and not the wallet. From the heart and not the wallet. Let's have a look at verse 3 again. "Truly I tell you," he said, this poor widow who has very little, has put in more than all the others. What he means is that this widow has not literally put in more currency than other people. Her donation wasn't bigger than the others. What Jesus is saying is because of her heart attitude, because she wanted to give back to the church, she was able to make a proportionally bigger sacrifice than all the others put together. That's what Jesus is saying. The larger amounts that all the other religious leaders and all the pious people, the large amounts that they put in were actually proportionally a smaller sacrifice than what the widow was willing to give up. Their heart attitude was, what's going to impact me the least? I'm going to decide to give to the church. What's going to impact me the least? Whereas Jesus is saying the widow wasn't thinking like that. Where do we see that these days? Well, Bill Gates. Bill Gates paints himself as a philanthropist, doesn't he? He says, I've made all my money. I'm going to give it away now. I want to help the world. But it's very hard to paint yourself as a philanthropist when your wealth keeps increasing. And he's sort of shouting out to the world, look at me, I'm going to give my money away. Well, it's less donations, more investment, isn't it? Hardly making a big sacrifice in his life. But that's what the widow was doing. The widow was willing to give up more for God and his kingdom on earth, which is seen through the church. Each of you shall give what you have decided in your heart to give. In your heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's not the quantity, it's the attitude of the giving. That's what counts. But not at the expense of wisdom or sustainability in terms of a giving. So it must be sustainable and wise, but it needs to be from the heart, not the wallet. That's what we're thinking about. So lastly then, why? Looked at how we give, the way we give. Why? Why do we give? What's the motivation to give? I mean, after all, isn't that just what churches always want? Biggest criticism of the church is that it just wants your money. And when I talk to non-believers, this is particularly our last church, I used to play football with a lot of non-believers, they'd always say, oh, I never want to go to church, because every time I've ever been to church, they bring the plate round or the money bag. They just want your money. They just want your money. But that's not why we give, is it? We're not giving to the church as an organisation. It's not for the church as a, to fix the lead roof or to get new pews or whatever like that. That's not why we give to the church. Rather, we're giving to the one who owns the church, the one whose body is the church, like we've just talked about in our declaration there. The church is the body of Jesus. Jesus is why we give. We give to Jesus because we know him. We give to Jesus because we know him. Without that, it will just feel like we're giving money to an organization to fix the roof or the pews. Let's look at this. See how important this is to know things. Right, Lucy, who would you like to give a nice big hug to? You got a choice of these two or those two. Who are you much more willing to give a nice big juicy hug to? Why not these? Why not? You don't know them, do you? Okay, Ames, which of these are you going to take home and cuddle tonight? Which one means the most to you? Are you going to take home this random one, which is called Bab for some reason? Or that, what's that one? Which one are you going to take home? Why? Well, exactly, you don't know them. Nancy, you're setting up a play afternoon, and you can invite two people. Your mum said, two people, that's it. We've only got two coffee pods left, so you can only invite two people. Who are you going to invite? These two? Or these two round for a play date? Which ones really want? Why not these two? These look quite nice. They're strange. You don't know them, do you? Yeah. You just don't know them. That is why we give to Jesus, because we know him. We're not giving to some random organization. But not only do we know Jesus and why we're giving to him, he knows us. Have a look at verse 1 and 2. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Only Jesus knows how much we give and why we give it. Only he can see our hearts. Jesus looked up, he saw the rich and he saw the widow. He knows exactly what's going on. Only Jesus knows what a sacrifice that is to us. I don't. Trevor knows how much comes in. He doesn't know what that means for a sacrifice. Only Jesus knows that. Only he needs to know that. And you might be thinking, well, that's actually a bit scary. If Jesus knows exactly why, if he knows my absolute inner heart attitude of why I'm giving, that doesn't actually motivate me. It's quite scary, in fact. It just feels like Big Brother's watching your every move, what every thought. But that's not the purpose. We don't look at Jesus as some Chinese-style security camera. Purpose to understand who we're giving to and who only knows how and why we give is because it is only between you and Jesus. Look at this verse from Matthew 6, and Jesus talking about giving to the poor in the same way. It's still talking about giving. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. What Jesus is saying is, we don't need to make a song and dance about what we give. The giving, because it comes from the heart, should be the same way as the fact that your right hand doesn't even know what your left hand's doing. It's just automatic. Isn't that the opposite of Bill Gates? He wants to tell the world, I'm going to give away millions when I'm ready to give away my millions. I remember when I was working in proper work, I mean, if this is not proper work, but in our senior management meetings, so once a year we'd have to decide, a big song and dance, how much money we're going to give to local causes in the area. And this always used to gripe me. I always used to say every time in the meetings, why are we making a song and dance about it? That completely defeats the purpose of giving money away. But you see that, if you go onto the website of any big business, they'll give you a list of all the places they donate to. Pat themselves on the back, aren't we great? That's not why we do it. It's just between you and Jesus. Because ultimately you're giving to the one who's given you so much. And this is why this point is so key. So Jesus saved the church as a body, and he will collect the church as a body, but that church is made up of individuals. So he saved a body, but he's also saved individuals, each one of us. Each one of us individually knows Jesus. Each one of us has our own relationship with Jesus. Each one of us has been given eternal life by Jesus. Again, as we saw last week, you cannot buy that or earn that. So we don't give to some distant organization run by some manager who operates from a satellite branch. Rather, we're giving to our own Lord and Savior, the only Lord and Savior. We each give sacrificially to the one who sacrificed so much for us. So the fact that only Jesus knows how and why we give shouldn't be intimidating. Rather, that should be motivational. Because the only reason that you do know Jesus is because he knows you. And if he knows you, he's brought you into his family. To know Jesus is to know what he gave up for you to bring you into his family. And if you knew what he gave up for you and why he had to do that, wouldn't you want others to find that as well? Wouldn't you want others to find that belonging and that eternal life? And this is the thing, the best way to be part of God's family is through God's family. Through the church. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. To welcome other people in to God's family. And that's why every member is cherished and plays a role. So that's just a little bit on how we give, the way we give, and why we give. Always remembering that it is for Jesus and his purposes. Let me pray. Lord, we do thank you for the church. Lord, we thank you for the church as a huge body of saved believers, Lord. But we also thank you for this local church, this local gathering. We thank you that you've resourced it in a way that it, to make it work, to make it function, Lord. And Lord, we know that every single person plays their part in making this a church. The church comes into the building. The building is not the church. And Lord, would you continue to resource us so that we can draw others in, so others can know what it means to be part of your family, the church. And Lord, would you help us to always give you the glory for that, to always focus everything on you. Amen.